9 o'clock, Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for hanging out with us this morning. We started day one of our casting for Blue Steel, the Super Bowl 50 movie. And we'll have it solidified in regard to who we're going to cast for Gary Kubiak, John Elway, and Wade Phillips by the end of the show. We have some strong contenders. We've had a lot of great suggestions. Some that were maybe a little off the mark. Some just out of left field, like Evan with Newt Gingrich as Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
But I'm going to start building some traction here, though. I do love your G.W. Bailey suggestion. I think he'd be great. I'm getting kind of behind this Blue Deckard Dom suggestion. He played Mac McGill. He was one of the cast members in Friday Night Lights, the TV series.
But not having seen any of his work, I don't know if he's a good actor or wooden or can carry some of the weight of a film like the Oscar-winning classic we're putting together.
Really? We're putting the bar's that high, huh?
Might as well. I mean, you know.
I was thinking this might be straight to video kind of.
Oh, this is not going to be like the Marine 5 or anything. This is, you know.
But Blue Deckard's been in quite a few films. He's been in Michael, which I think that was the John Travolta movie.
Really?
I believe, where he had that movie. Like powers.
Battle. He was the angel.
He was the angel, yes. That's right. It's been forever since I've seen that movie.
He wasn't a superhero.
He has powers.
Well,
natural powers.
Higher powers.
Yeah, exactly. He's an angel. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, he wasn't a superhero.
He could shoot lightning out of his fingertips.
But he did have...
He had...
Unhuman powers.
Enhanced abilities.
Supernatural powers. Powers on loan from God. There we go. How about that? Does that work for you?
Yeah.
He was also... Blue Deckard was in the film The Stepfather, which was Penn Badgley, Celia Ward. Never saw it. Not familiar with it,
nope.
But he was in that. But here's another really good reason, you know, why maybe Blue Deckard should be cast as Wade Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did he play a coach in Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
But he also was in the 2002 film, The Rookie, with the guy we think should probably play Gary Kubiak, Dennis Quaid. So there's a connection there. Maybe there's some chemistry. So give it some thought. Blue Deckard, though, has been in some films. He's not just a guy that's been in a couple of films and that's it.
Good for him. He's got a nice little career.
Got
there.
A fairly good. Well, you're just mad because G.W. Bailey is the guy you thought of, and you're gonna die on that hill.
I'm not mad. I just haven't seen any of Blue Deckard's work.
Okay.
I don't know how good he is.
I know how you are. The petty human being that you are.
That doesn't describe me at all.
G.W. Bailey was my suggestion. It was
not
the best.
Accurate at all.
You said it was brilliant. Now you don't think it's brilliant.
Yeah, you're backtracking a little bit on that too. Yeah. So, I mean,
look,
make a valid point.
If I was not made aware of Blue Deckard by Dom, blame Dom. Don't blame me. Blame Dom for coming up with a better idea than you. Okay? With a better suggestion.
Have you seen any of his work, Blue Deckard?
I watched The Rookie, so apparently
I
did. No, I don't.
See?
But the dude sure looks like Wade Phillips. So
how long
that's
ago
all I
was
know.
Police Academy? 84? And we still remember G.W. Bailey's performance?
Been a lot of stuff. I agree.
Nearly 40 years later?
Okay. Well, I'm open to the suggestion.
He's not named after a color?
A blue. Well, he doesn't want to go by what his real name. So he just goes with initials, G.W.?
Maybe somebody with the G. Bailey was in SAG already.
Probably had to do that. That's true.
I think his name is George.
I'm not saying that I'm George Bailey.
I think so.
Let's hope the bank doesn't collapse.
George William Bailey.
George William Bailey. Okay. I'm not opposed to G.W. Bailey. I'm just saying that the Blue Deckard is now, to me,
he's
a really new, strong candidate to play Wade Phillips. I know you and I like Jake Busey, for Elway. I can't see Costner, which was suggested. I can't see Bradley Cooper.
No, Costner can't be in a football movie. He already works for the Browns.
Well, and somebody said, well, he played a GM in a movie. Why not? Why can't he play another GM? Because he was the GM in draft day. Because
there's other people. It's Kevin Costner doesn't get to be all the GMs.
Once again, sounds like it's some personal bias. He's your fictional GM.
I still and you're haven't not seen to
let
that
him,
movie.
You're not willing to let him go be a GM for somebody else.
Because up until last year, I know how that movie ends. Him and Haw, they picked the wrong guy, and they're doing
maybe,
it all over
maybe
again.
Maybe now's
this year.
The time that you know they've broken the cycle.
I think so.
They should take in draft day with Kevin Costner. All right. 906, still looking for your suggestions today. We're having some fun with it. 970-242-1340. We've had it, Andy suggesting Ned Beatty for Phillips. We've had a suggestion of him before.
Mm-hmm.
Ned's a long in the tooth.
Yeah.
It's like somebody suggested Robert Duvall. Robert Duvall's 90.
May not make it to the end of filming.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Especially if Gary Busey's part of this movie. That's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't put those two guys' trailers next to each other.
Yeah, probably not. Okay, today is Jackie Robinson Day. Yes. It's actually today and tomorrow around baseball where players will wear the number 42 for Robinson, who broke the color barrier in baseball. And then, of course, on the American League side was Larry Doby for your Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Later on that same season,
same
right?
Same season, I believe.
Yeah, it was later in the season. Here's a few things you may not know about Jackie Robinson. Did you know that he didn't play baseball between ages 21 and 26? Those are prime years, right?
Mm-hmm. Wasn't he fighting in a war, right?
He served in World War II, played no organized baseball since his last game at UCLA in 1940, first game for the Kansas City Monarchs in 1945. Spent one season in the Negro Leagues before Branch Rickey decided to have him be the player to break the color barrier. But part of that was military service. But he did not play between ages 21 and 26. Some Brooklyn Dodgers players signed a petition for him not to play on the team. And we know that
they failed.
You know, that they failed in that effort. And fortunately, Pee Wee Reese, you know, with his arm around Robinson, did that very public gesture. You know, someone born in the South extending, you know, that arm around Jackie Robinson was a big game changer. But there was an incident in Syracuse. A rival player threw a black cat on the field and chided, "Hey, Jackie, there's your cousin." All kinds of other awful things that were done to him. That's why Branch Rickey, you know, the famous scene with the late Chadwick Boseman and Harrison Ford, Branch Rickey saying, Jackie, you got to take it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take it for a season. And then after that, you do you. You go out and handle these situations however you feel like you need to. But for the first year, man, you got to take it. I just cannot imagine taking all the abuse that he did. There was also that he testified before the House Un-American Activities Committee. Summer of 49, he was called to speak before the House Un-American Activities Committee, the congressional board that conducted inquiries into the activities of suspected communist sympathizers and subversives. The request came in the wake of the controversy surrounding Paul Robeson, a tremendous athlete, but also a fantastic actor. I believe he was an opera singer as well. Robinson had remarked that African Americans would be unlikely to support a war against the Soviet Union after receiving what he felt was poor treatment in the United States. And so Robinson went there to kind of provide the counterpoint, because he had served in the military, of what Robinson was saying in terms of denouncing communism and those kind of things. So he testified in front of,
mm-hmm.
In front of Congress. FBI had to investigate death threats he received. In 1951, the feds were called in to investigate before a game in Ohio. A mysterious source calling itself Three Travelers sent letters to police, the Cincinnati Reds and the local paper, vowing to shoot Robinson with a sniper rifle the moment he stepped onto the field. Before Chadwick Boseman played him, Jackie Robinson said, "You know what? I'll just play myself." He was the star of the Jackie Robinson Story. Pretty low-budget movie, kind of like Blue Steel's going to be.
Yes.
But
much better than Blue Steel's going to be.
But yeah.
It's got Jackie Robinson in it.
Because it's got the real McCoy, Jackie Robinson, right there. Film actually did well at the box office, and Robinson received pretty positive reviews for the performance of him playing himself. which some people don't do that very well. In 1960, campaigned for Richard Nixon. Also, some other things about him that I think that are not just commonly known about Jackie Robinson. You know, I think most of us know that he played a fairly active role in civil rights in this country in the 1960s. Was very involved in that. He also received 4 national honors posthumously. He appeared on the U.S. stamp in 1982, Presidential Medal of Freedom in 1984 from President Reagan, featured on both a gold and silver coin produced by the U.S. Mint in 1997, awarded the Congressional Gold Medal, the nation's highest honor, in 2005. And the terrible thing is that he did not live long enough to see some of those things happen. Of course, his widow Rachel lived on long after him, but to kind of carry on his legacy. But today and tomorrow, Major League Baseball honoring the number 42 of Jackie Robinson. All right. So a few little things
there about tidbits about Jackie Robinson.
About Jackie Robinson today. All right. 9/11, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Want to get back to the Nuggets last night. Denver getting the win over Miami, their first game after the loss of Jamal Murray to that season-ending ACL tear in his left knee. And I got some sound here from Michael Malone. A little Post Malone for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people feel like that the Nuggets are done. You know, we certainly have our doubts now that Jamal Murray is done for the season. Because you look at the numbers, the efficiency rating of Nikola Jokic when Murray is on the floor as opposed to when he's not on the floor, it's dramatically different. Also, he's your second leading scorer, second leading assist guy, an emotional leader of this basketball team. And to lose him really, really hurts. So a lot of people feel like Nuggets probably done. They'll make the playoffs. You know, I think they'll get past the first round. I don't know if they'll go. I don't think they're going to go farther than that.
Right.
But don't tell that to Michael Malone and don't tell that to the Nuggets. Here's Michael Malone after the game on not folding the tents, even with the loss of Jamal Murray for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, like, we don't, Sean, like, we never listen to the narrative, you know, especially nationally, right? I mean, like, no one ever gives us a chance, and we're fine with that. I mean, I think we kind of thrive in that element. You know, we're underdogs. They want to talk about all the other teams, let them talk about them. But we have to understand, as I told our team this afternoon, let's not waste these last 18 games. As devastated as we are for Jamal Murray, we still have a tremendous opportunity in front of us. And if we waste that, it would be a travesty. And tonight, I really appreciate how our guys came out with the right focus, the right energy, the right joy. I keep on using that word because I think it's so important. And you're right, we have so many guys. How many guys are 6 guys in double figures? I thought our bench unit tonight was phenomenal. Jamichael Green, PJ Dozier, Paul Millsap, Faku, all those guys went out there and played at a high level. And we didn't have to go back to our starters like in panic mode. So good win, but we have 17 to go.
All right, there's Michael Malone on the Nuggets win last night. And he's right about the score. I mean, PJ Dozier had 15 points last night. You got 17 from Jamichael Green off the bench. You know, Monte Morris, now the starting point guard. You know, you'd like the assist total to be a little higher, but 11 points, 2 assists. Did a nice job last night. Nikola Jokic, of course, did a lot of the heavy lifting with another triple-double, 17 points, 11 assists, and 10 rebounds. Michael Porter Jr., another solid game, 25 points and 10 rebounds. But they're going to need that kind of effort from MPJ on a regular basis, which they have been getting.
Right.
Aaron Gordon had 16 points and 9 rebounds. Got to see the scoring uptick like that. I mean, they're going to need more games from him like that.
If that's how it goes on the nightly, I'm fine with that from Aaron Gordon.
And there's no guarantee that'll be the case, but you would like to think that Gordon certainly was the number one option in Orlando when he was there. A guy that is very smart in terms of his cuts in the half-court game, of spacing.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be an opportunity here for him to touch the ball more.
Right.
And now, because when he came in, it was like, hey, I just want to rebound and play defense. I'll be the fourth option. I don't care. I just want to help this team win. Well, now he's going to be asked to do something like he was asked to do more in Orlando, which is score the basketball.
Well, now to the five starters, his offensive rating last night was second only to Michael Porter Jr., who the kid could have gotten wet on a cruise ship. That's how good he was shooting. It was absolutely ridiculous. 10 of 14 from the field. Three of his four missed shots were from long range. He was hitting everything inside the arc. Nikola Jokic had the triple-double again with those other guys scoring more points. That attention that's going to be paid to Nikola Jokic. We talked about this yesterday with Chris Dempsey. Those other guys need to step up or else they're just going to just completely collapse on Nikola Jokic every time he gets the ball. And then how effective is he going to be? With Jamal Murray, there's a lot more touches, like you said, available for guys like Porter and Gordon. And Monte Morris, yeah, he had two assists, but his offensive rating was pretty good last night. And he's not going to have the ball in his hands as much. He's not going to be the first pass. It's not going to be coming from him. It's going to be coming from somebody else. Maybe a Gordon and a Nikola Jokic are going to be the guys getting the pass that leads to a basket. Whereas Jamal Murray, when he had the ball in his hands, he was always a threat to score, which is why he had more assists. It sounds stupid, I understand, but that makes sense when you figure that the more he has the ball, he's going to be able to pass it more, find open guys because they're guarding him. Monte Morris doesn't have that threat yet around the league.
And I think, you know, Will Barton only had 6 points last night. That can't be a staple for them winning. But when you get from Monte Morris and Facu Campazzo, 19 points combined, 7 assists, 5 rebounds.
Facu played a lot better last night.
Yeah, they'll be in good shape if they can get that kind of production from the point guard spot. I mean, because Murray's 21 points per game, right around a little under 5 assists. So you're trying to replicate those numbers.
Right.
And they, for the most part, did that last night with what Monte Morris and Facu Campazzo did. You had a great night, obviously, from Dozier with the 15 points. The bench has to play well.
Michael Green played well last night.
Michael Green had 17 points last night. They got contributions from the bench, which they're going to need that more going forward.
The bench flipped that deficit into an advantage at one point in the second quarter. So, yeah, they played a lot better, and we talked about that. They're going to have to play better. Morris, Barton are going to have to pick up a little bit of the slack as well. You're going to have to use 4, 5, 6 guys to replace Jamal Murray. They got enough last night. Is that going to be the way it is every single night out when you get into the playoffs? It remains to be seen, but it's a good start.
But I like the way what Michael Malone's talking about, though, that nobody thinks we can do it. Nobody thinks we can get it done now. We're dead. We're dead in the water. And it has to be that us against the world mentality now. Yeah. And I like what he says, like, you know, nobody believed in us before when we had Jamal Murray. I throw the BS flag in that a little bit. I get it from a national perspective, but you had the Athletic the other day having them ranked as the number one team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. So I kind of go, well, Coach Malone, I'm not so sure about
that. His favorites to win the title, he's right.
You're right.
When you're talking about winning an NBA championship, there's 4 or 5 other teams in the West that people talk about.
He's right about that. But people don't crap on the Nuggets as much as they used to.
No, they don't.
And the big fella, Nikola Jokic, is a huge reason why. So you got a suggestion for Wade Phillips. It was from Andrew in Grand Junction, MC Ganey. He is one of those that guys. MC Ganey's
Old
been
Nick
in
Ganey.
He's been in everything. He was in Lost, Con Air. I mean, you name it, he's been in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know that guy.
He's a that guy.
Yeah. Wild Hogs, Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, like I said, he's been in a ton of, you know, movies and TV shows. He usually plays a heavy, usually a bad guy.
Yeah.
I could kind of see him as Wade.
He's a big dude, 6'2".
Because Wade's a character. He's MC Ganey's kind of in the stuff I remember, kind of a character. Usually more menacing and scary than Wade Phillips.
He's kind of got a longer head than Wade.
He does.
You know, a taller head.
That's where G.W. Bailey kind of fits it. The Blue Decker guy fits. But that's not a bad suggestion. That's not crazy.
Sean O had a good, if untimely, suggestion.
About Gary Kubiak?
Yeah.
Gary Shandling?
Yeah.
Look, see. Compare the two pictures. Yeah, I could see that a little bit.
The only problem is Gary Shandling's been dead for 5 years.
And he's been dead for a while. He would be a great choice, like Sean O said, if he were still alive.
Yeah, that's what I said. That's what I said to Sean O. He'd be a great choice if he were still alive.
If he was still alive. You said that back to him. If he was still alive. Yeah, I see it. Was it Gary Shandling's last kind of role? Was it in the Avengers? Wasn't it like...
I think so.
Maybe it was one of the Captain America films because he was Hydra. He was like the congressman that was secretly working for Hydra.
I think that's right.
We're too comic book nerdy on this program, probably.
Actually, I think that may have been someone else. Or no, he was Senator Stern in 2014.
Yeah, he was...
He had a couple of movies that were released after he died. But they were, and he was the voice in the Jungle Book. But the last main movie where he didn't play himself or as a voice actor was Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Really good.
Really good movie. Jude's got a suggestion, Josh Brolin for Kubiak. Yeah.
Josh Brolin's already got enough. He's Cable. He's Thanos. No.
You're saying he's greedy, huh?
Yes. He's already done enough. Stop.
He's in demand. Why? Because he's really good. You seem like you're bitter about that. You seem bitter about a lot of things today.
You can't be two people in the same universe. That doesn't work.
Well, but he can't in this.
That's why I'm mad.
This isn't a comic book universe. It's the Broncos. Super Bowl 50. Blue Steel. It's reality.
Let somebody else work. There's a lot of struggling actors out there, Josh Brolin. Let somebody else get a job.
Are you repping some other people? And I'm not aware this is like a side hustle for you, that you're repping some other people and...
Damn, he does look like Gary Kubiak, though.
He does.
Man alive.
You going to rethink that a little bit?
Let other people work.
I still like Quaid. But then again, well, what about Quaid? Quaid's in everything, too, or has been in the past. You can't use that faulty argument for one.
Dennis Quaid did not use his dad's name or something. I don't know.
Well, his brother acted, though. Randy, Crazy Randy.
That's true.
Flying the jet into the alien ship and Independence Day.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
And then absconding to Canada.
Thank you, sir, for your service.
Yeah. Oh, I think we should discount Dennis Quaid because he was in the Footloose remake. I think he should be out of our movie now because of that. Okay. I forgot about that.
Okay, well, that's
so maybe Josh Brolin.
Consideration.
But after this movie, let somebody else work.
You just seem bitter when somebody comes up with as good or not better idea than you today.
Why does this surprise you?
It doesn't. I just thought with the pile, maybe you would be a little more, okay, yeah, that's not a bad one.
No.
You're consistent if nothing else.
Exactly.
Consistent if nothing
else. Let somebody else work, Josh Brolin.
Are you repping Dennis Quaid these days? Are you a secret?
No, I said after Hollywood the bad agent? Footloose remake, he shouldn't be in our movie anymore.
Well, then obviously, I guess then you are not working for him if you're going to say that.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
Or is that some kind of sandbag strategy?
I'm not that smart.
I'm not sure really how that would work, how you're sandbagging
there.
I'm not really sure how that would work. All right, 9:23. Just a thought that crossed my mind.
I'm not that smart.
I'm always looking for you. You're trying to play some kind of angle. I always know that about you.
I can barely tie my shoes. I can't double cross people. Come on now.
All right, 9:24. We'll take a break and we'll come back. This day in sports history coming up. We'll also go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show on the team, Colorado sports leader.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The team.
Welcome back, 9:27. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy, today we're casting our Super Bowl 50 film. And if you have the little trailer ready, so people can hear exactly.
Summer,
Omaha!
Coming to a theater near you.
The book I'm best known for is Blue Steel.
A teaser trailer.
Yes.
For Blue Steel, the movie, the Broncos Super Bowl 50 championship season. And today we're casting Gary Kubiak, which all of a sudden now you've backpedaled really strongly away from Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, because that Footloose remake sucked.
You know what? Didn't see the first one with Kevin Bacon back in the day.
Really?
Didn't see the other one. So, 0 for 2. And
the premise
proud
is
of that.
Dumb, but the first one was all right.
If you say so. And see, that should...
How would
that
you was, know? That How was could an, you argue? You didn't see
that,
it.
That was... Should have been my wheelhouse, right?
Yeah. You know,
what, 80s film?
84, I think. They're outlawing dance. Can't dance because it'll lead to...
John Lithgow was the minister against dancing in the small town.
Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. What should we talk about? Kira Sedgwick earlier, his wife, with the closer. With G.W. Bailey potentially playing Wade Phillips.
Yes.
I'm on the Blue Decker thing, though, really hard. He looks an awful lot like him. You're going to have to do some convincing to sway me. So you like Josh Brolin now as Kubiak.
Better than Dennis Quaid.
Okay.
He was that bad Footloose movie.
Okay, what if... Okay, take that off his resume. Would you still feel the same way?
If I didn't have that to take him... he's absolutely Gary Kubiak.
Okay. So it's just this
That's how bad that Footloose remake
personal
was.
Bias that you have. Yes. Did he play the Lithgow role? Was he the minister in that or something? Or what was...
Okay. I think so.
I said, I didn't see either one, so I don't know.
He wasn't the young dancer kid. He's not quite that old.
I don't think Dennis Quaid probably would be that guy.
So.
Sneaky good film that he's in.
Yeah, he played Reverend Moore.
And I can't remember the title of it, but he played a guy who was selling his house. He said his wife had passed away, and this couple buys the house, and he still lives next door. And he's this kind of creepy, wannabe serial killer kind of guy. He's that kind of guy.
Wasn't that just recently?
Came out a couple of years ago.
The Intruder, right?
The Intruder, yeah. He's not really a serial killer, but he's got an issue with them moving into the house.
He's to let the house go or whatever.
Yeah, and he's always constantly showing
really
up.
Good.
It's a really good film.
Oh, so I just clicked on that. One of the stars of that movie is also part of my cast for Blue Steel.
Really? Who's that?
Michael Ealy.
Okay.
He's my cast. I'm not going to tell you
who. He was the lead guy. He was the lead.
Okay. I'm not going to tell you who it is.
All right.
But he's in my cast.
Okay. So we're still taking your suggestions today for Wade Phillips, Gary Kubiak, John Elway. Let's see, Sean O. Aaron Eckhart to play Tom Brady. We're not casting that role yet.
But Aaron Eckhart's still alive, so got a good chance.
So Sean, good job. You found somebody that's not dead.
Yeah.
Though Gary Shandling did bear
he would have been good.
At least in that picture, a striking resemblance to one Gary Kubiak.
Yeah, would have made people uncomfortable on the set now, you know, what with the skeleton and all. But then, back in the day, it probably would have been all right.
And Aaron Eckhart probably younger than Tom Brady. I'm just kidding.
There are a lot of actors younger than Tom Brady that have been around for 20 years.
I'm assuming that Aaron Eckhart is probably...
Well, let's look.
A little bit older.
Aaron Eckhart, March 12 of 68. Tom Brady. Oh, he's 10 years older
than
Tom Brady.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got to be around my age, Aaron Eckhart. He's a little bit younger than me, like a couple of years.
Yeah.
He could do it, though. Eckhart could still do it.
Sure.
Eckhart could still do it. All right, 9:31, and let's go ahead and get to this day in sports history. Still taking your suggestions, and we'll finalize it, right, for the three. At the end of the show, we'll finalize it. Coming up in the garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. I believe Tom Sheldon's going to stop by, talk about Grand Junction or the Western Colorado Dragway. So we'll have him coming in and talking about that as they get their season underway. Let's get to this day in sports history. We start things out with, today, of course, it's Jackie Robinson Day, today and tomorrow in Major League Baseball. But this was the day that Jackie Robinson played in his first Major League Baseball game with the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1947. 5-3 win of the Boston Braves. First black player to appear in the Major League since 1884. He did go 0-for-3, but he scored the deciding run in that 5-3 victory over the Boston Braves. Also on this day, 1918, Babe Ruth pitches a four-hitter, drives in two runs for the Red Sox as they get the 7-1 win over Philadelphia season opener for Babe Ruth and the Boston Red Sox. And that one, 1984, Bing Crenshaw wins the Masters by two strokes over Tom Watson. Also on this day, back to baseball, 2000, Cal Ripken becomes the 24th player to reach 3,000 hits. He does it off the Twins, Hector Carrasco, to reach 3,000 hits. Did it in a 6-4 win over Minnesota. Also on this day, 2007, Kobe Bryant scores 50 points for the 10th time in a season. And for Bryant, the third highest total in NBA history behind Wilt Chamberlain's 45 times with 50 or more in 61-62. So it gave him 50 or more for the 10th time in a season. And that's this day in sports history. All right, 9:33, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. And we're going to talk a little NASCAR coming up next. And also Western Colorado Dragway with Tom Sheldon, NASCAR Fred, J-Rod in the garage. Coming up next, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
They're a lot of fun. Oh.
The Jim Davis Show.
They're idiots.
Say what?
On Colorado's sports leader, the Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody.
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, and we're going to drive straight, and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. That's a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. And also joining us in studio today, Tom Sheldon from the Western Colorado Dragway. We'll start out with you, Tom. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, Jim.
Always good to chat with you.
We need to, you need to get some kind of a drag racing open. I mean, maybe I Booker T and maybe, you know, Buckeye Boy, Booker T and the MGs, real Green Onions. You know, that's a great
lead graffiti.
Yep, there, look at you. Yeah, there so you go.
I have watched that movie more times than any other movie I've watched in my entire life.
Greatest movie
I've
ever
watched
made.
It like probably 35 times.
Yeah, great movie. Fantastic great, yeah. movie. Especially if you know, just growing up. But anyway, I can be here for 4 days talking
about
that.
Oh, yeah, we could talk about American Graffiti all day long. Toad riding the Vespa into the vending machine, and
do you know that was actually an outtake that they left in that he couldn't ride a clutch, yeah. And that is true, and he didn't know what to do, so he just kept going, and they kept it.
True story. And it was perfect,
yeah,
because it really spoke to him trying to be cool and on his Vespa, which to make it look cool on a Vespa, and runs into the vending machine.
You do what you do.
So Western Colorado Dragway, the season's getting underway.
Yes, finally. We're launching a full season coming up on Saturday. It's just a test and tune. The gates are going to open, I think, right around 9 o'clock, and then the junior dragsters, huge junior dragster contingent, that's kind of the feeder program for NHRA, starting it from 5 up to about 14, 15. We've got a huge junior program now, and they'll go from about 10 to noon. Big cars will run starting at 1 o'clock. If you want to go up and watch, we do have the five-star variant, so everything is open. The stands are open, concession stands open. You can tailgate out there. It'll cost you $15 to go up and watch. If you are interested in running, it's $40 for your tech card. And then next Saturday, the 24th, will be our first race of the year. You know, so it's good to have drag racing. You know, I'm ready, man. It's been a long off season.
I'm ready. Get out to Orchard Mesa, get out to the dragway. Yep. It's going to be fantastic.
Yep, top of the hill, 32 Road and Highway 50. You can just follow the signs, but it's like they've got the Trap Club up there. But we're up there, and you know, NHRA nationally has had to postpone, push back a bunch of races. Fortunately, we haven't had to do that. The track in Salt Lake, Rocky Mountain, shut down 2 years ago, I think it was. You know, so there really aren't that many local small tracks left in the United States anymore, right. And we truly have been blessed with the track that we have, and the quality of racing that goes on there. We've got a couple of national champions, guys that have and gals that have gone on and won national championships, national event racers that call Grand Junction home. So it really is nice cars, fast racing. With your $15, you also get a pit pass. Which is basically, it's like, yeah, go walk around.
But that's cool though, to get in the pits and see, you know, see some of the cars up close and personal.
You can go, you can talk to them. You know, you can go take a look at the cars. You see something that you like, you can go over and you can ask questions about it. You can just, you know, it's almost kind of like a little mini car show. Kids 12 and under, they get in for free. So it is a great way to just kind of have some family time, you know. And if you're new to the Valley, by all means, we invite you to come out. Western Colorado Dragway has been around up on the hill, I think, over 50 years, and totally, I think, somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 63, 64 years.
Yeah, it's been out there a long, long time.
Yeah. Speaking of American Graffiti, though, the 24th is kind of a big race because it's kind of honoring somebody local, correct?
Yeah, it really is. Ron Berry, who was a terrific racer. Not only drag racing, but he raced for Chrysler, Grand, you know, Grand Junction
Eisenhower
Chrysler.
Dodge.
Yep. Way back in the day.
The Charger he had back in the day. What, Pro Stock, right?
I think it was the Super Stock car.
Sorry, Super Stock, yes.
But yeah, Ron Berry, and then he also did some, you know, that turn left stuff, which I don't ever understand.
Come on now. His son
Jeep was raced stock cars for quite a while.
Yeah, but they are fantastic racers, super cool people. And they're doing kind of a tribute race to Nostalgia Super Stockers. The Rocky Mountain Super Stockers are going to be here next weekend. And Pine Country has kind of, you know, stepped up and making it a tribute to Ron Berry. So that should be a really good race. And it's the first race of the year. So that's everybody brings their new toys out.
My old man used to work at Eisenhower Dodge with Ron. And I remember we used to go out to the dragway when I was a kid to watch him race. So I mean, that's some of my childhood memories, going out there and watching Ron Berry do his thing.
Funny thing though is, you mentioned Jeep. I watched Jeep when I was a kid growing up, because obviously I was on that side of the mountain. Ran into him yesterday at Pine Country, but he's racing. Both his boys are racing, so I mean, all the Berries are going to be involved in this memorial race. So I think it's going to be awesome. It's going to be not want to miss it.
Yeah, it'll be a cool time. But anyway, so Test and Tune this Saturday, 1 o'clock if you want to watch the big cars. It's $15 to get in. It'll probably be done by about 4 or 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon. So weather should be nice. Maybe a pinch on the cool side, but the weather should be nice. And then season kicks off next weekend. WCDRA.com is where you can go. You can get the complete schedule, and everything's listed on the website.
All right, very good. Tom, I know I can always count on you to take me down a memory lane here in the Grand Valley.
Well, you know, you can always create a new memory by, you know, prying yourself away from a sports desk and coming on up and joining us.
Might have to do that. Might have to get out there and check out some of the racing coming up.
Bring the race truck, you know, the bike, whatever you want to, you know, you and Rio, you know, we'll match you up.
Sure, okay.
We'll put you in a couple of station vehicles.
Since you upgraded to the Nissan, I like your chances better than it was with that.
What'd you have? Yeah, the
Yaris, yeah. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that would have worked.
My ruckus would beat his Yaris.
I think it took a little bit to get going.
I think I've got an old skateboard in my closet somewhere that I could probably really outrun
probably
that Yaris.
You could probably call me in the Yaris.
I probably could have towed you if I needed to. All right. Hey, Tom, always appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming in. All right, take care. All right, Tom Sheldon talking Western Colorado Dragway. So we go from going straight to taking some lefts with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod. Morning. NASCAR Fred, the great state of Iowa.
Good morning. I thought I picked a winner this time. It was looking good for Denny Hamlin. I picked him to win at Martinsville. And, you know, it's kind of funny. You get down to the end, and with all the cautions, I don't know, I had 13, 14 cautions in the race, something like that. It turned out you needed a long-run car to win the race, so go figure.
Well, I don't think any of us picked Martin Truex, right? I don't think any of us picked him.
I think it's interesting, though, you bring it up that, you know, Denny Hamlin, obviously he led the most laps, but I think the dominant one for the most part, I thought, was Ryan Blaney. He won both stages. He led the most laps, you know, for 90 laps consistent. And he even fell off. You know what I mean? I think I picked Denny Hamlin to win it, but you got Martin Truex with 20 laps that he was out front, wins the one that matters. That's all that counts.
Well, in both stages, you know, Denny started off, he had a real good short run car, but then it would fade just a little bit. Blaney's car would get better, and it happened in both stages. Blaney caught him with a few laps to go and won the stage. What happened to Blaney in the last stage, though, was he had trouble on pit road.
Yep.
He ran over the air hose as he was leaving, and it went outside the pit box. Taking equipment outside the pit box is a penalty, so he had to go to the back and just didn't have time to to get back to the front. So that's aside from if that hadn't happened, I think Blaney might very well have won it. But Truex, kind of the same deal. He just had a longer run car that kind of got better as the run went on. So gets his second win of the season.
In the Garage of NASCAR, Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Get pricing information at montroseFordNissan.com. We're talking about Martinsville, the Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 500 this past weekend with Martin Truex Jr. taking the checkered flag, Chase Elliott, Denny Hamlin, William Byron, and Kyle Larson, your top five. A nice finish for Christopher Bell. Continues to show some relative consistency on in the NASCAR circuit this year. Christopher Bell taking seventh at Martinsville this past weekend.
You know, another,
Go ahead, Jerome.
But you know, another one is yours, Fred. You've been picking Tyler Reddick, thinking he's coming up, and you know, he finished eighth, started 13th, right. Finished eighth. So I mean, man, these kids are still gaining every week.
Right. I'm keeping my eye on Reddick. Bell, of course, you know, he's got a win already, and he's I think he's gonna get more wins before the season's done. I think it's a good fit, seems like, with him in that 20. At Gibbs. And yeah, Tyler Reddick too. You know, Austin Dillon's been carrying the banner for RCR, but Reddick, I think he's settling in and he's solid. I think he'll get a win before the season's over.
Chase Elliott taking second, has yet to win this season. He doesn't seem to be overly concerned about that though right now. At least Elliott's trying to keep, you know, not put too much pressure on himself. Like I said, a really good finish though at Martinsville behind Truex.
Well, like people have said so often, it's better to, you know, have second place, third place, come in with top five finishes than to try and get more out of your car than what it's got and end up finishing 24th or something, you know. So, yeah, he's running consistent. He's fast. He's, you know, he's up there every week, it seems like, and he's up there in the points. So, yeah, they're not going to get worried about it. He'll be there come playoff time.
And currently sits seventh in the points right now. Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., Joey Logano, Kyle Larson, Ryan Blaney, William Byron, Chase Elliott, Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, and then Christopher Bell, the aforementioned Christopher Bell, rounding out the top 10 right now when it comes to the NASCAR point standings. So any other final comments about Martinsville from this past weekend?
You know, I do, and that, I think it's a huge one. I think it's cool as all get out is Josh Berry. Go talk Xfinity race for 1 second. Sure. Josh Berry wins his first race in his sixth start this year. Basically, he's not really finished great. He's always been in the 30s, the 20s, and he pulls off the win at Martinsville. He's a late model driver from the Junior Motorsports stables, and Junior feels that he was, you know, capable of bringing it to the next level, and obviously in six races, he won a race.
Junior seems to have a lot of confidence in Josh Berry because he did an interview this last week where they brought up the idea of him possibly, you know, Junior Motorsports possibly moving into the Cup Series. And he said, you know, he said, we've talked about it. He and his sister, Kelly, they've tossed the idea around, and Josh Berry is one that they might consider as being a driver if they do that.
It'd be interesting to see him come because, like I said, he's been under that stable for quite some time.
Right.
Before we talk about Richmond coming up this weekend, I do want to discuss kind of an off-the-track situation with Nashville, Tennessee, Bristol Motor Speedway, and Nashville Mayor John Cooper, who signed a non-binding letter of intent with the Bristol Motor Speedway that, if approved by the Metro Council there and the Fair Board, would bring NASCAR back to the Music City. 30,000-seat expansion to the current track, noise mitigation efforts, pedestrian tunnels, part of that. But there are people that live in the area that aren't too crazy about this idea that the Bristol Motor Speedway has planned.
Well, I think that's more of a problem than it was in years past. You know, because the people that are complaining about this, they've paid a lot of money for these places where they're at, and they don't want, you know, it's one thing if you say, okay, there's a racetrack over here, we're going to be living close to that, and it just kind of comes with the territory. But if you buy this place and then all of a sudden they move in a racetrack next to you, I can see how it's the NIMBY syndrome, not in my backyard.
Right.
They're going to have to fight against that, I'm sure.
Well, the opposition group, it's neighbors opposing track expansion, and they're saying, look, they're not against local racing, but NASCAR is not local racing, and they don't want to get rid of the racetrack, but they say it's going to be too much noise, too much traffic, adding too much congestion to the area that they have the big issue with.
You know, it's one of those things that they got airplanes, and there's always vacation time. It's a good time to get out of town, right?
I mean, good time to leave.
It's going to be one weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, I get it. You know, it's kind of like moving DIA. They move DIA out to the sticks, and the next thing you know, a year later, there's houses all around DIA, and people are complaining about the noise.
Look,
you know?
I'll bring it locally to the Junior College World Series. People still complain about the fireworks on Memorial Day night, and they've been doing that forever. But every year, people still complain about it, and so that's just... I mean, hopefully, you said it's one weekend. Hopefully... This won't. Yeah, you don't want to. You don't want to make people mad, but hopefully it's not going to be something that derails. You know, certainly, I think a big opportunity for Bristol Motor Speedway with this expansion.
Yeah, and I think it takes. You know, just it's discussion. I think it is. You know, I mean, it's you got to give and take, and that's like I said. My big thing is it's one weekend. I mean, it is money. It is revenue for their town, their city, and why not? You know what I mean?
Right. Everybody needs more of that right now.
You got it.
No doubt about that. All right, so we move on. To the Toyota Owners 400 Richmond coming up this Sunday, 1 o'clock our time on Fox. Some thoughts about this, NASCAR Fred?
Well, you know, we've seen Martin Truex Jr. winning at Martinsville. He, for a while, that was really the monkey on his back. Couldn't win a short track, so now he's become kind of the short track wizard. He won both races at Richmond in 2019. They only ran there once last year. Brad Keselowski won that one. But... Richmond, it's really a different situation than Martinsville is. I mean, it's a shorter track; it's 3/4 of a mile, but it's really a very different track. They call it the short track that thinks it's a super speedway, just because it's a different style of driving. It's faster, but at the same time, you still have some of the short track beating and banging going on. So it's always a lot of fun.
You didn't see much of the chrome horn come out in Martinsville as you thought you would, but in Richmond, you don't really see it either. And I'm with you 100%. It's a fast track, but you got to move people in order to get to where you need to go.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a few people that got pretty beat up at Martinsville. Ryan Newman's car looked like he'd been in a demolition derby. And there was some of the chrome horn, some of the trading paint going on. As far as making a prediction for this weekend, I'm really looking at Kyle Busch. He's won 5 times at Richmond, 6 times, excuse me. And it's, you know, we've talked about how he's one that they really miss that practice time. They don't generally unload that good. They need the practice time to get dialed in. But this is one of those tracks where you know, certain tracks are just good for certain drivers, and Kyle is good at Richmond. I think we're going to see him finally deliver the goods this weekend.
I think that's a great pick. I was talking to a buddy of mine, my old boss, actually, from one of the teams I worked for this week, and he's like, who do you take? And I said, I think Kyle Busch, he's due. But my pick, always Harvick, and I think Kyle Larson. I got two in there. Either one of them, I think, can make it work. Harvick, is a no-brainer, but with Larson coming, I think he's got a really good chance.
I'm going to go Denny Hamlin. He's finished top 4 in 5 consecutive races, finished top 6 in 8 of his last 10. I kind of like Denny Hamlin in this one. He's been pretty darn consistent.
The odds are getting better for Brad Keselowski, so that's who I'm going to put my buck on.
Okay. We'll find out who is right coming up next Thursday. Anything else, guys?
Just the unveil of the next-gen car coming up on May 5th. Some interesting things. We didn't mention this last week. One of the really big things is the wheels. On this car, they're going to, like the Indy cars do, which is one big lug nut instead of the 5. That's going to just completely change everything out there, road. So we maybe talk more about that next week.
You know, and I think it's funny. I think we talked about that too, but we should all start saving our money. We can buy these cars from this year, and we can go race our own stuff next year because all of it's going to be obsolete.
no kidding. Yeah, you buy it now and race it down the road.
All these cars from this year, they're going to be up for sale cheap. Yeah, for sure.
Hey, guys, thanks. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the racing.
You too, Jim. Thanks.
Thank
all right. That is In the Garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing and information at their website, montroseFordNissan.com. All right, that's our show for today. I'll be back tomorrow with Who Doesn't Love Cake? Any day of the week, particularly on Friday. Cake will be with me tomorrow. Join us tomorrow morning at 7 right here on the team.